Another area of NSABP research I wanted to ask you about was the Oncotype DX assay.
The Oncotype DX assay was developed through a joint effort of Genomics Health and the NSABP. And it required a number of steps, one of which was to figure out how to measure gene expression in paraffin-fixed tissue. Once that was worked out, then what happened was to take a panel of genes and look at their expression and determine whether you could find a group of genes or a limited number of genes that, taken together, could be used as a prognostic indicator for patient outcomes. And to do that, they went back to the B14 trial, which was a trial in which patients were randomly allocated to receive either tamoxifen alone or no treatment. All the patients in that trial were considered ER positive. All the patients in that trial were node negative. Once that was done, then it was validated in another group of patients that were treated with tamoxifen. It's also been validated in a separate group of patients not on the trial. And the power of this assay, which is based mainly on 16 cancer-related genes, some of which have to do with hormone responsiveness, some of which are related to HER2 expression, is that by calculating a score based on these measurements using a formula, I think we're entering a new era where the molecular taxonomy or the molecular profiling of tumors in patients gives us a much more precise breakdown of who's going to do well, who's going to do badly, who's going to respond to this drug or that drug or hormonal therapy. And I think that's what's really exciting about this. It's certainly not going to be the last test of this type, but it's the first.
It was interesting that you all decided to focus on the node negative, ER positive patient. Of course, that's very common. Mm-hmm. Most patients are ER positive. Most are node negative because of mammography. And there, I guess the critical practical decision is, are you going to add chemotherapy on top of hormones?
Right. In practical terms, for a patient who's got a hormone-responsive small to moderate-sized tumor, who's faced with a decision about whether to take hormonal therapy alone or hormonal therapy and chemotherapy, we have a way to measure their residual risk, as you put it, but not only their residual risk, but also the likelihood that they're going to have a benefit from chemotherapy. Now, in our working group, we're talking about applying this kind of profiling to patients with node-positive disease. There are node-positive patients who do well, and I know some of them quite well and personally, and it's not clear that just because you're node-positive that you will necessarily have a bad outcome or necessarily benefit from chemotherapy. So we're talking about our next generation of, quote, what we used to call node-positive trials. Perhaps we're approaching the time where we're going to talk about doing trials for high-risk patients, and that will include patients who have negative nodes and a bad score or a high-risk score. And it may exclude patients who are node-positive but have a low recurrence score. And so I think Soon is in the process of looking at some of our node-positive trials with this kind of assessment to determine whether we can in fact identify good-risk node-positive patients and separate them out.